Unlike Willie, who became his mother's constant companion following the death of James in 1881, Edson seemed to have trouble finding direction in life. After his marriage to Emma McDearman in 1870, Edson tried his hand at several occupations, including establishing his own publishing firm. He combined his musical talents and printing skills to publish hymn books, and for 3 years managed the Pacific Press. He even worked on river steamboats. By the early 1890s, his publishing business was leading him farther from church work, and in 1893, he found himself in Chicago, burdened with debt and his spiritual life at a very low point. Then, in Battle Creek, on business, Edson found, on the floor of an upstairs room in the Review and Herald building, a tract containing an appeal his mother had made to the church in 1891. It was entitled, Our Duty to the Colored People. It was a call for someone to evangelize the black people of the American South. Edson saw that as his call. Teaming up with his friend, Will Palmer, whom Edson once described as the wildest son of old brother Palmer, they conceived the idea of building a river steamboat to carry the gospel to the black people of the lower Mississippi region. To finance the project, Edson wrote and published a textbook called The Gospel Primer. The steamboat, Morning Star, was completed in the summer of 1894 and began its voyage down the Kalamazoo River from Allegan, Michigan to Lake Michigan, where it was to be towed by the tug Bonhomme across the lake to Chicago. A storm was threatening as they left the Michigan shore and struck them with full force out on the lake.
Captain Jones! I can't see the Morning Star! She's disappeared!
The cable is still taut, Mrs. White! Look! Over to the starboard, to the right, at the crest of that big wave! There is the Morning Star, riding the storm like an ocean-going vessel! She's all right! She's doing just fine!
From the deck of the tugboat Bonhomme, the Morning Star seemed to be riding the huge swells of Lake Michigan without a great deal of trouble. It was perhaps just as well that our families could not see us aboard the Star. Most of the crew below deck were seasick. The pump tubes clogged 4 or 5 times and had to be cleared so they would pump the leakage from the bilge. I struggled with the wheel, fighting the gigantic seas that swept over our low-lying deck. After 7 hours, the storm receded, and 14 hours after leaving Saugatuck Harbor, we docked at the city pier in Chicago.
Well, we made it, Elder White.
We did indeed, Captain Reed, although some of the time I wondered if we would.
We all did our part, especially you, sir. But it's something besides human power that kept that boat afloat.
I believe you are correct, Captain.
Here, take this $10, Elder White, as a thank offering.
Why, thank you, Captain Reed. We can use every cent we can get.
I'm glad it will help your mission, but frankly, it's a thank offering because the Lord pulled me through one of the worst storms I have ever seen on lake or ocean.
We received another gift just a few days after landing at Chicago. The Story and Clark Company, hearing about our mission to the South, donated an organ, which we rolled up the gangplank and positioned in the main cabin. It would be a wonderful accompaniment to our hymn singing during our Sabbath services. Will Palmer was waiting for me in the wheelhouse with some good news.
I found 3 men who I think will turn out fine. There's Walter Cleveland, Walter Halliday, and our new engineer, Lewis Krause.
Are the new men all Adventists?
No. One is an Adventist, one is a Presbyterian, and the other, well, he's a Catholic. Will that make a difference?
Of course not, as long as they know how to run a steamboat. They're all Christians, and they're all welcome aboard. We sailed the next morning, passing through the canal system to LaSalle, and on down to the Illinois River, where we docked alongside the town wharf at Ottawa, Illinois, to wait for a special canvas to shade our hurricane deck. There, under rather unusual circumstances, we picked up a young man who would become a most valuable member of our little group.
Yeah, can I help you?
Yes, sir, I hope so.
I have here a small volume called The Gospel Primer that very well might change your life. It speaks the word of the Lord in a simple, concise manner.
You're new in town, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Well, come in and welcome. What's your name?
Walter Halliday.
Halliday? Well, that's my name.
No, no. Mine is spelled with an I, as in Halliday.
Close enough. Where are you staying?
On the steamboat Morning Star. We tied up at the public dock. We're beginning a mission to preach the gospel and to teach colored people in the South.
Ah.
We're selling these books to raise funds for the project.
That is a fascinating thing to do. Mm. So adventurous. Say, could I visit your boat?
I don't see why not. Look, I'm about finished selling the book for today. Why don't you come with me now?
Fred Halliday became so interested, he decided to sign on as one of the crew as far as Peoria, Illinois. His mother also became enthusiastic about our project. She donated a melodeon to go with our organ. At least the Morning Star would have music wherever she sailed. But now, more trouble arose.
Edson, will you please stop your pacing? You are driving me and everybody else on the boat crazy.
According to the report I just received, the General Conference Secretary has charged that we built the boat by misrepresentation, and that my claim to have received approval from my mother is an outright lie. Elder Smith, who was going to solicit funds for us in Battle Creek, was ordered to stop. You know we need whatever monies we can get. The Gospel Primer is not bringing in enough to support our mission.
What will you do?
Well, for one thing, I'm not going to let it rest. I'm going into that office right now and write a letter to the leaders of the General Conference. And moreover, so long as we feel assured that God is with us as we feel it now, we know that all the devils in the universe, combined with all the men who are blinded to the interests in this work, cannot overthrow it. Knowing that God cares for it, as he cared for it in the past, we shall press forward, believing that he will bring it to glorious termination. The Morning Star finally left Ottawa and started on the 100-mile trip to Peoria, Illinois. Fred Halliday spent his time becoming acquainted with the boat and her crew. When the group went ashore to sell the Gospel Primer, Fred stayed behind to study the tract I'd given him called Our Duty to Colored People. When we got back to the Star that evening, we had a surprise waiting for us. Well, Fred, I guess this is goodbye. You said you'd be traveling with us as far as Peoria. We'll be pushing off dawn tomorrow.
I've changed my mind. I'm going south with you.
That is wonderful news, Fred. I suspect you'll be very useful to the vessel and to the mission. At the time, I couldn't have guessed how valuable Fred Halliday would be. He would serve in every capacity from teacher to preacher, and when the need arose, even as a mechanic. He would gain the respect of the Southerners, both colored and white, and win hundreds to the faith. But now the Morning Star was filled beyond her capacity. My answer was to purchase a barge that we fitted out as living quarters for the six young men who were now a permanent part of our family. The barge was towed by a heavy hawser, and since it followed behind the Morning Star, it was called the Dawn. In mid-December, the Star steamed into the mighty Mississippi. The Star seemed to love the great river, making as much as 125 miles a day.
We'll be in St. Louis tomorrow. I can hardly wait.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it as much as you are. Last night at tie-up, a man came aboard and asked me to speak at an Adventist church there. Of course, I will.
Everything seems to be going well for a change. The Star is running smoothly, and the Gospel Primer is selling at a fantastic rate.
Yes, it's too bad we don't see more of the prophets. We have almost sold out of the original edition, and we've little to show for it.
Well, as you know, much of the royalties are eaten up by the review for printing and binding costs. And we'll need another edition soon.
I hope we will realize a bigger share of the profits this time. My mother sent me $100, and that's what we're living on at the moment. We were on the Mississippi now, and it was necessary to have a qualified pilot. The pilot we had left us at Cairo, and we searched in vain for another competent man. We were stuck wharfside in St. Louis until we could find someone.
Sir, can I come aboard and talk to the captain?
Well, the captain is ashore at the moment, son. I'm the chief engineer. Can I help you?
I heard you were looking for a pilot to take this here boat down the river.
That's right, young man. Why? Do you know someone?
Sir, my name is Finnis Park. And I know every inch of this big muddy river from here way down to New Orleans.
Are you saying that you're a pilot?
Not exactly, sir. Ain't no chance they're gonna let a colored... You must be from up north. Ain't no chance a colored man gonna get papers to be a pilot down here. Besides, I'm underage.
You claim you can take us downriver safely?
Yes, sir, I can. And you don't have to pay me nearly half as much as a regular pilot either.
Well, I admire your spunk, young Finnis. I may be crazy, but wait until Elder White comes back aboard and we'll see what he thinks about you becoming our pilot.
After waiting 6 weeks tied up at the dock, I was ready to take on anybody as pilot. We pushed off the next morning with Finnis Parker in the wheelhouse. He soon proved that he did indeed know the Big Muddy. When another riverboat would hove into view, he would turn the wheel over to me and drop out of sight behind the wainscoting until the other boat had passed. It simply wouldn't do to have a colored boy seen guiding the Morning Star around the shoals and sandbars. Indeed, when we reached Memphis, the licensing inspector threatened to fine us $500 and force us to hire an authorized pilot. We put up a vigorous argument, and after a long delay, the authorities settled the matter in our favor. It's good to get back on the river. Finnis Parker's a fine young man and a good pilot. I'm glad we got that settled.
I hate to tell you this, but we've got another problem. The review was way behind on our reprint order for the Gospel Primer.
That is bad news. Our people are canvassing in the city with the few books we have left. We'll need that order very soon.
The review is working its bindery day and night. They promised to get the remaining 6,000 copies to us in a few more weeks.
These people certainly don't run the paper the way my father did. Here it is, mid-December, and since April last year, we've sold nearly 100,000 copies. If sales keep up just a few more weeks, all our debts will be cleared. The Morning Star steamed down to Vicksburg, where we arrived in early January 1895. The town still showed signs of General Grant's ravaging attack during the Civil War. In 1876, a strong flood had diverted the river channel, leaving a sizable lake which was connected to the river by a narrow canal. The upper end of the lake was fed by the Yazoo River. We docked just below the bluff of the city at Fort Hill.
Ah, Vicksburg seems like a pleasant little city.
I'm sure it is. It looks peaceful from the boat. Do you know there are some 200 colored churches in Vicksburg?
That seems a great number to me.
It is. And it shows you how the colored people are reaching out for the Lord. Do you see that small one, just at the top of the bluff? That is the Mount Zion Baptist Church.
Yes, I see it.
The preacher was a former slave. He was once given 200 lashes for having a hymnal, which he couldn't even read. I've arranged to use his church for services next Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday nights.
Services on Sunday?
I don't think it would be wise to thrust our Sabbath on the people too soon.
Oh. Edson, this is the Deep South. Will it be dangerous?
I don't think so. I'll need your help on those nights, Emma. I plan to hold a reading class before the sermons on Tuesday and Thursday nights. That's where you come in.
Good. It will seem wonderful to finally get to work among colored people.
A majority of the colored people in the South were illiterate. It became obvious that in order to bring them into the present truth, a school must be started. The Gospel Primer was used as our basic teaching tool. The classes were an instant success. Vicksburg did provide schools of a sort for colored children, but they were so overcrowded that large numbers were unable to attend. Nothing in the way of learning opportunities were offered for colored adults. Well, I'm off to attend Sunday school at the Mount Zion Church.
Edson, you've been going out preaching at Sunday schools for several weeks now. When are you going to introduce the Sabbath?
I'm not sure they're ready for something as radical in their eyes as Saturday Sabbath. I still think it is ill-advised to rush matters.
But we keep the Sabbath ourselves on the boat. The people must think it strange to hear us singing and praying on Saturday.
Well, nobody has said anything to me about it. One morning, Katie Holston was working in her garden when she heard singing drifting up from the Morning Star.
Willie! Willie! Willie Maxie!
What do you want, Katie? Can't you see I'm busy over here?
Come here, Willie. I want you to hear something.
Well, what is it?
Listen. Do you hear that?
It sounds like a church service or something. Down there on the Morning Star.
Yes, that's it. A church service.
Oh, but it can't be. This ain't Sunday. This is Saturday. Nobody holds church on Saturday, except maybe Jewish folk.
But it is a regular church service. Those white folk down there on that boat are keeping Saturday for Sunday. I wonder why.
Well, I'm sure going to find out. I'll ask Elder White about it tomorrow at Sunday school. How come you folks on Morning Star keeping Saturday for Sunday?
I know why we worship on Saturday. Why do you worship on Sunday?
I don't know.
When was the Sabbath made?
When God made the world.
What was the Sabbath meant for? Look in your Bible, at Genesis 2, verse 3.
It says, God blessed the seventh day because that's the day he rested from creating the world.
Have you ever read in the Bible of any change being made in it?
No. But why are we keeping Sunday, then?
We aren't. Down on the boat, we're keeping Saturday.
Then I'm going to keep it, too.
The next day, Katie Holston asked the same questions and got the same answers. Katie told her friend Hannah Washington, who was also convinced. Meanwhile, the boat's cook had talked to two young men about the Sabbath, and they decided to come as well. Within 2 weeks after Katie heard the music drifting up from the lake, five new members joined the boat crew in worshiping on the seventh-day Sabbath. As the number of Sabbath keepers attending services on the Morning Star grew, local pastors noticed a loss of members and of offerings. The pastors reacted with anger and talked bluntly to their people against the Southern Missionary Society and its members.
Miss Katie, I'd like to speak a word with you.
Surely, Reverend Brown. Won't you sit down?
This morning I can say all I got to say standing up.
You seem upset.
I'm very upset, Miss Katie. We've been missing you and your husband at church for 3 Sundays in a row now. And I found out you both been attending service down on that boat, Morning Star, keeping Saturday for Sunday.
Yes, we have, Reverend Brown. I've been meaning to tell you. Willie and I decided to keep the true Sabbath now. We found out the true Sabbath is Saturday, not Sunday.
What put that fool notion in your head?
The Bible. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou...
Y'all haven't got the education to know what the Bible means. That's what we're paid for. You come to us for anything you want to know about the Bible. We'll tell you. You stay away from those river rats. You're not going to go give your souls and your money to the devil while we're around.
Emma, every church in Vicksburg is closed to us. Those who don't hate us are afraid of the ones who do.